141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge night of World Cup qualification action for Scotland, with Greece coming to Hampden. Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marathi conduct Rangers manager interviews in London, with Stephen Gerrard top billing, and Alistair Johnson opens up on his injury recovery. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight are Ross McCormack and Gordon DL.
Yeah, we're all looking forward to Hampden tonight, and then obviously the double header with Belarus on Sunday as well to come along, Andrew, so we're looking for positive results. I think Rangers fans are looking for a positive decision and who's got to be the next manager. Stephen Gerrard seems to be firm favourite. You just wonder if that will get over the line very, very quickly indeed. So lots to talk about this weekend.
Yeah, I think it'll be good for the Rangers fans tonight, obviously, to get away from the chat about this Rangers manager. It's rumbling on and rumbling on.
But I'm
buzzing for the game tonight. Like you said, massive for Scotland. I think if we get 3 points tonight, I think they're nearly there.
And it's nice of you to join us, Gordon, because I know you've been standing outside a hotel in Glasgow all day trying to catch a glimpse of Katy Perry.
I'm a little bit like Steve Clark. I would probably need to be pointed in the right direction. I'm not a real Katy Perry fan. Here's one for you. If you beat the pundit tonight, one question, what song? I couldn't get it. I don't know one song. Do you know one song?
Yeah, I know quite a few.
Go on, give us one.
No, I'm not going to sing it.
No, well, a title.
Roar.
Roar.
Yes. Nicely connects. No. Hampden Roar and all that. I'm just checking the beat the pundit question to see if there was any Katy Perry questions. I don't think so. Anyway, let's get on to the important stuff. 0141 951 1025. Scotland fans, it is a massive night. This qualification campaign is only 6 games. This is game number 3. How are you feeling about it? We're going to get the team news in around 25 minutes' time. So until then, you can pick the team. You can tell us who should play, who shouldn't play. Maybe you are on your way to the game and you are excited. Give us a call. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, today a big day as well in the managerial hunt. Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marathi are down in London. They've been conducting Rangers manager interviews, and of course Stephen Gerrard is the name on everybody's lips. Is he the man you want? Is there someone else that you think would be a better choice than him? 0141 951 1025. I'm sure those two topics will dominate the next 2 hours. But anything else on your mind, 0141 951 1025. This game tonight, I think Steve Clark even said it himself in yesterday's press conference, it's almost gone a bit under the radar because there's been so much talk about the Rangers managerial hunt. There's lots going on at Celtic. There's just so much happening domestically. It's a huge game for Scotland.
It's not huge, it's absolutely massive, because you'd imagine that we'll have enough in the tank for Sunday. So if we can get 6 points out of 6 with the start that we've had with our 2 away games, sitting in 10 points, we'd be in a fantastic position. Desperate to know the team tonight. Obviously, there's one or two coming back into the squad, i.e. Kieran Tierney. I don't think he'll play tonight, Andrew, I've got to say. I know that when Tierney's in the team that usually goes to a back three with 2 wing-backs, I think he'll stick to a flat back 4. It'll be just interesting to see who plays up top.
Yeah, we'll get that team news from Tom Grant maybe about 6:30, but let's go and speak to him now. He's at Hampden giving us a preview ahead of tonight's action.
Yes, Andrew, this really does have a big game feel to it, doesn't it? I was at both legs of the playoff doubleheader in March against the Greeks, and at the time, it was a little bit of us walking into the unknown. Yes, we'd heard that they were a nation not to be dismissed, a young, talented bunch who'd notched a few good results, most notably that Wembley win over the English. But we started well that night in March in Greece, didn't we? We could argue that we deserved to be 1-0 up at half-time thanks to that Scott McTominay penalty, but then the tide drastically changed. On came Kostas Karatsas for his debut, and the Greeks absolutely pummeled us, and a strong defensive display saw us get out of there with a 1-0 win. But that second half in Athens was a warning, and one that I don't think Stevie Clark took seriously enough. Karatsas got his first start, and basically they tore us apart limb for limb on that night in hand, and they just looked a class above and thoroughly deserved all the praise that came their way. And they got their goals at really good times as well, Andrew, you know, the one just before half time and then the one right at the start of the second half, snuffing out any chance of a comeback for us. But As we all know, weeks and months are very long times in football. We've started this campaign well, most notably at that 0-0 in Copenhagen, but it's the Danes' demolition of Greece in their own backyard last month that has really thrown this one wide open, and there is certainly a feeling amongst the Tartan Army tonight now is a chance to really pile on the misery to Greece and try and turn this into maybe a two-horse race between us and Denmark. Now, on the flip side of that, that 3-0 thumping could have the away side hurting, eager to get back on track, and I'm sure head coach Ivan Jovanovic will have spent the last 3 weeks carefully planning another Scotland shakedown here at Hampden. For Stevie Clark, tonight he matches Craig Brown's record as longest standing national team gaffer. He'll surpass that against Belarus on Sunday, and as Daz mentioned, really desperate to see what the team is. Nobody is trying to second guess what Stevie Clark might do after, you know, going two up top in Copenhagen, but it's all on the line, isn't it? We'll be here. Where will we be come 10 o'clock tonight? And I'll get the team news for you around about 6:30.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing what the teams are going to be, but for now, 01419511025, Scotland fans, let us know who should start this game, who maybe shouldn't start this game. 01419511025. Tom saying there that it is a 71st game in charge of Scotland for Steve Clark. It draws him level with Craig Brown for the most games managed by any Scotland manager. It's quite an achievement, isn't it?
It's massive for Steve Clark, I've got to say. Craig Brown was brilliant for Scotland in his heyday. But Steve Clark has led by example for me. I know that there's a lot of Scotland fans out there not the greatest fans of him. They've wanted him removed. Obviously, Euros were disappointing, but he's got us to big tournaments. And I think the start just now has been brilliant, the two away games, especially, as Tom says there, over in Copenhagen. Brilliant result for us, very positive, two up top. I've got a funny feeling they won't go two up top tonight. I really don't. I think Doak will come back in. I think we've got a bit of width and a bit of pace. I think he'll go for it. I think he'll be very positive. And if we can get a result tonight, Andrew, and obviously we've got to beat Belarus on Sunday, what a start that would be.
Because one way or the other, this will be one of the bigger games, not one of the biggest, but one of the bigger games that Steve Clark has taken charge of in his time at Scotland, because everyone knows that the World Cup is maybe the one missing piece to his tenure, and for this group of players as well, for Scotland as a whole since 1998. If Scotland win it, I think people then start to really dream that it's properly possible. If Scotland then lose it tonight, then sort of dreams are almost crushed. Not that it would be completely over, but there would just be a real negative spin on what's been a positive start to this campaign.
Yeah, I think the 70 games that he's been in charge, I'd probably only say that there's been two with more meaning to it. You think the Serbia game that got us to the Euros, David Marshall's game when he saved the penalties, and probably when we got to the last major championship, I would say probably was it Hungary, the last game of the last game of the group, if they won, they go through. So probably them two meant maybe a little bit more than this. But listen, I agree with Dazzler. I think he's been brilliant. I like how level-headed he is. A lot of people probably think that maybe goes against him. You know, he doesn't show much emotion. But I think for a squad of players, you know, if your manager's not getting too high with things and not getting too low at other times, I think it's a good thing.
Hard to judge where Greece are at as well, because Greece obviously came to Hampden in March, looked very, very good. Karetsas, the 17-year-old, who I think is touch and go whether he's going to start tonight or not, or be involved because he's had a bit of an illness. They looked very good in that game. Nobody expected that Denmark would go to Greece last month and win 3-0.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Denmark, with the players they've got and the ability, they're capable of going anywhere and winning comfortably 3-0. Greece will be a different animal tonight, I think. They're sitting down there in third. They need a result as well, Andrew. It's not a gimme for Scotland, but I think everyone going along to Hampden tonight and the performances lately will be very confident. The players that we've got as well, competition for places, especially in the middle of that park, and now we're debating one or two up front as well. We've got good options on the bench that if we have to turn the game at home, we can always still be positive. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a really good, entertaining game.
Yeah, this is a call to you Scotland fans. We want to know what you're thinking ahead of the game tonight. Who should play, who shouldn't? 01419511025. And of course, we cannot ignore the big story going on at Rangers as well. Who is going to be the next Rangers manager? Is it going to be Steven Gerrard? Is it going to be someone else? Interviews taking place in London today with Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marathi. So any developments on that, we will keep you updated. And if you want to add your opinion, 01419511025. 0818 104 225. Justin is a Rangers fan up first. Justin, how are you feeling about it? Is Steven Gerrard the man for you?
For me, 100%. I think he ticks just about every single box there is in relation to kind of aura, personality, the way he carries himself, the ability to attract players. But most importantly, I've listened to a lot of fans talking about, you know, he walked away and he's been unsuccessful since he left and blah, blah, blah. I'm more interested in what he did with us. And I don't think Rangers have been the same team, a kind of team spirit or togetherness or fight for each other since he went. I think the fitness levels that he had Rangers playing at the time when he was there were phenomenal. I just think they looked like a different unit and a different type of team when he was there from what he built. The question I was going to have for the panel is kind of twofold, briefly. First one is, if Gerrard is to be the manager that comes in, and apparently the talk of his backroom team being, you know, Gary McAllister again, Defoe and Davis, if that's to come in, my understanding was the stumbling block in him, one of the stumbling blocks in him coming in the summer was he wanted more control of the football decisions, i.e., you know, the buying of players and the structure of the team. Does that, if that's the case and he comes in this occasion, where does that leave Thirlwell? Does that take less control away from him? Does it change the dynamic? Because I don't know if Gerrard's the type of manager to be told what to do, if that makes sense. I think he would want more control. Mm. Do you think the panel thought?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Justin, but I think that any manager now in the modern day game coming to big clubs, they've got to fit in with the structure of the club. It's as simple as that. They'll have most of the say. They'll be respected in the transfers, because I always believe that a manager should have the final say, because really it's him. It's you know, getting the criticism if it doesn't go right. The peers above, they sit up in the director's box and everything's aimed at the manager in the dugout. Sometimes I think it's a little bit unfair, but managers have to fit into a structure of football club. Rangers have got that structure. Look, if he wants to come back for unfinished business, as he keeps saying, he's out of job just now. So he's an unemployed football manager that's looking for a job. I think he would hold a bit of stature. I think the fans would love it. Most of them. I know there's one or two been on, maybe being a little bit negative about it. I'm not too sure about it, if I'm totally honest with you. I know what he brings. I know what kind of, you know, stature this guy holds when he walks into a dressing room because of what he's achieved as a player, everything about him. Coming back for a second time, it's a big ask, because as Justin says there about players, he can't bring in Denny in January. So he's got to work with the players that he's got, and he's got to get a tune out of them.
And see, even on that, Daz, I see you're saying he can't bring anyone in until January. See, realistically, is he going to bring that many players in? Because you think of the amount of players that have come through the door this summer, how many players are already there beforehand sitting on big contracts? You ain't getting rid of that. You're going to have to get rid of some of them.
Do you think he would agree to come back if he wasn't going to get the backing in January? Would that not be one of the first questions he would be asking in those interviews today? Is he going to get backed in January? Because he'll have seen the backing that Russell Martin got in the summer, but that could surely sway the opinion of whether it's Steven Gerrard, whether it's someone else. They'll say, well, Russell Martin was backed. Will I be getting backed in January?
You've got to ask the question, right? Right now, Steven Gerrard, one trophy out of nine with Rangers, right? And it was the most important. Rangers fans love him for that. He goes to Aston Villa, doesn't achieve anything.
It's a hard club to be at.
Right, okay, it doesn't matter. Goes to Saudi Arabia, doesn't achieve anything. Steven Gerrard, right now, at this present time, for me, is not going to be offered a bigger job than Glasgow Rangers. He's not. Where's he going? He's not going in the Premier League.
His interview that he done with Rio Ferdinand is very telling for me. He actually says that it needs to be something. He goes into a job where he's got a chance of winning. Unless that means the top end of the English Championship, he ain't getting nowhere in the Premier League. He's got a chance of winning.
So he's got an opportunity to come back to a club that he knows success. He knows the fans are on board right away, love him right away. He ain't getting a bigger offer than Glasgow Rangers right now. Not a chance, not with his past record.
And see if he doesn't take it this time. You know, if a new manager comes in and fails, you would think probably that would be the door closed on him. coming back ever again.
You talk about him being, you know, an unemployed manager, someone looking for work. Does the narrative and the way that this week has sort of panned out, the fact that there is a groundswell of, you know, backing from Rangers fans for Steven Gerrard to be the next manager, does he strangely almost hold the cards in all this now?
I can totally understand where you're coming from, but if you're a strong board and you're strong leaders, you can't give up all your car. You've got a structure. You can't have a manager only because the fans want him in. The majority of the fans, there's still some out there obviously negative against the appointment. You always get that no matter where it is, apart if you're Russell Martin. But you cannot let a manager hold all the cards on you. And you'd be just giving up your club. It's as simple as that. Steven Gerrard, if he gets the Rangers job, and I think the fans would be delighted with that, has got to work under a structure of the club. Simple and straightforward as that.
Justin, you know, Steven Gerrard being interviewed today, it's our understanding that there are other candidates that are being interviewed as well. Is there a world where you would be happy to see someone else come in that's not Steven Gerrard, and if so, what would their credentials need to look like?
The only people that I could see Rangers being able to have that are realistic. Well, everybody spoke about Mourinho and all this kind of stuff, which I don't think we could afford in realistic terms. Realistically, the only other person I think that has the similar stature, the similar to deal with pressure of being at a big club that has the experience of that kind of club mentality around them that is doing well, Frank Lampard, who has obviously been in the mix at a point as well.
What?
I know Ross kind of mentioned that you drop Coventry in a heartbeat to come up to Rangers, and he's obviously got kind of history behind it. That's the only other kind of manager I would see has been able to kick on for Russell Martin. Gerrard or Lampard for me would be the most sensible choices.
So, Justin, when you say there that Lampard's dealt with the pressure, I take it you mean as a player, yeah, and not as a manager? Because he didn't deal with it particularly well at Chelsea when he got sacked from there. He got sacked from Derby because he couldn't get them out of the Championship. So
the Chelsea aspect obviously went in at a very, very challenging situation. He took them up, he won the FA Cup with them, he had a transfer embargo. Kind of carried himself with the best of what he was able to do. Yeah, did he end well? We understand that. But he's a person, I think, that would be comfortable. I don't think the pressure of managing Rangers would phase him in the same way it has with Martin, or the same way it potentially has with Clement. I think he would be used to that kind of big club pressured mentality around him, is what I meant.
Well, thank you to Justin, 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, if you've got anything to add to that, we want to hear from you. And Scotland fans, we want to hear from you, because we'll be bringing you the starting lineup for that game against Greece next.
I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormick here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A huge night for Scotland in World Cup qualification action. Greece coming to Hampden, 7:45 kickoff, and the team news is out. Tom Grant can give us that now.
Thanks, Andrew. Yes, there had been some chat beforehand whether or not Ben Gannon-Doak would retain his place in the Steve Clarke starting 11, because similar to Copenhagen, he went 2 up front. I can say that Ben Gannon-Doak has kept his place from the Belarus game, but there is no place for Billy Gilmore. So the team from the goalkeeper is Angus Gunn, Aaron Hickey at the back, right back, Grant Hanley, John Souter and Andy Robertson. The midfield consists of Lewis Ferguson, John McGinn, Ryan Christie, Ben Gannon-Doak and Scott McTominay will support Shea Adams up front.
What do you make of that team?
Yeah, very positive. I like it. I thought Gannon Doak would certainly come back in at home. We need that bit of width, you know, directness, everything he brings to us, that running power. So delighted for that. I put my team down just before Tom read it out, and I was one short. I went for Gilmore in the middle of the park with McTominay and Ferguson maybe on the bench, but I'm delighted Lewis is in there because I think he brings a lot to the team. I just thought if it was away from home, Lewis Ferguson would be suited better there. But look, he's back playing at a great level now, playing very well indeed. I think that's a very positive, strong Scotland lineup.
I think it's hard to argue with that, isn't it? The only one for me, I'd probably been a striker myself, I look at it, I don't think Lyndon Dykes has ever let Scotland down. I thought he would have gave us a good platform, get a hold of the ball, let them midfield runners get up round about him, but you can't argue with Shea Adams. Good pace, good player. I think it's a good team.
Thomas is in East Kilbride. Thomas, are you happy with that starting 11?
Yes. Evening, first of all, Andrew, Rob,
hello.
Gordon, how are we?
Thomas.
Good, thank
well.
You.
Yeah, so I would say, originally when I called in, I was actually feeling quite negative going into this game and quite, you know, fearing the worst ahead of it. And my original point was going to be that we should set up in a way similar to what we've done away against Denmark in the previous window, you know, try and make it difficult for Greece, since they obviously have shown previously that they have players of a level where they can hurt us. But I have to say, as well as seeing our team, I've also had a look at the Greece team, and Keretsas, their young sort of winger who sort of destroyed us when they beat us, he's on the bench this evening, and the lack of him really does add some extra confidence in me, which therefore, based on that, I have to say the likes of Ben Gannon Doak and having players like him in the team, and you know, and the attacking way that we're obviously going for it a bit more than I had originally thought we should. You know, I'm a bit more confident now than I was when I first called in, so that could just be the pre-match nerves. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
That is just the story of a fan before kickoff, isn't it? It's going through all the emotions, going from really not too confident to all of a sudden really confident, and then back and forward again. The inclusion of Ben Gannon Doak is a big one as well, because there's always a lot of clamour for him to be involved in every Scotland game from the start because he's such an exciting player. So is that something that maybe instantly gets the crowd going from the start?
Yeah,
because he's that type of player that people want to turn up and see, and he gets bums off seats.
100%. I think the fans will be excited going along to watch him tonight. He does. He just he's one of these guys that he's brilliant at taking the ball in. He's so positive. He believes in his own ability. He gets you up the park. He can create. He's a match winner, Andrew. He's a terrific young player, and he's only going to get better. I didn't think for 1 minute Steve Clarke would have left him out of the starting 11 tonight. Absolutely not. I think it's very positive. Great that Thomas is doing all his homework in the away team as well. Maybe throw that in Steve Clarke, give him a few hints. But you look at the two fullbacks, Hickey, I think, has really grown into a Scotland right back for me. I thought he was brilliant.
Well, he sort of looked that way anyway before his injury, didn't
yeah,
he?
But,
and having
I've
been out for 2 years, people maybe wondered at what level he was going to come back into. But he maybe even looks stronger than he did
yeah,
before.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he looks stronger and I think he looks better. So two attacking fullbacks. You look at the middle of the park, the rotations in there are incredible. Every single one of them can hit the box and go and score goals. We've got a lot of pace, we've got a lot of energy. I'm liking the look of the Scotland team, but we've got to make sure, like we achieved against Denmark, the two centre-halves for me have got to be really strong. And I like that partnership. I think it's good. My one concern now in that Scotland team right now would be the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
He didn't fill me with a lot of he seemed to be a bit nervous in the Denmark game. Okay, he's not getting a lot of game time because of his third choice at Forest.
Not even getting on the bench, really, for Nottingham
yeah,
Forest.
Yeah, his third choice just now, and maybe a little bit of nerves. So we're hoping tonight, especially at home, that him, Suter and Hanley can command that 18-yard box for us.
Because I think generally Angus Gunn did all right in the last international camp, especially off the back of not playing any football. Do you think Steve Clarke did have a big decision to make on that, or was it just easy to pick Angus Gunn because he played last time, played well, just slot him in again? The other options being Craig Gordon, who hasn't played a competitive game since May and has maybe surprised a few people by being included again at his lack of football, and Liam Kelly in there as well, who's also not playing football.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. The other goalkeepers in the squad aren't playing at all, Andrew, so I don't think there was a big decision to be made there. I think it just sort of, it was an easy one for Steve, to be honest. And I don't think Angus has let Scotland down any time.
Do you think he went for Gunn because he's played the least amount of games? He's not played enough games.
No, but
I mean, Craig Gordon's played the same number of minutes, which is zero.
No, they've hardly played. The three goalkeepers have hardly played a game.
See, when you think
obviously Gunn played in the two Scotland games.
Yeah. See, when you think about where we are now with the three goalkeepers in the squad, do you think of the embarrassment of riches that we've had over the years with McGregor, Marshall, Craig Gordon? It's mad to think where we are now.
Thomas, where are your confidence levels in terms of Scotland, not only tonight, but being able to finish top of this group based on what you saw in the last international window?
Well, Andrew, that's the million-dollar question, and the answer is, it entirely, for me, depends on what we do tonight. If we lose tonight, I think that's as good as done. If we draw tonight, I think it's a flip of a coin territory. And if we win tonight, I think people can start booking their flights over to the Americas.
It is huge for momentum, this game as well, because this group stage is so condensed. It's almost like the old sort of Champions League, Europa League group phases, where it's essentially the same format. You've got four teams, you play every team home once, away once. It's over the course of, you know, three months, really, that if Scotland get a good result tonight, that can maybe be a platform to propel Scotland into Sunday, get another good result. If it then all goes wrong tonight, then that can be a real weight on the players going into Sunday's game.
I think Sunday will take care of itself. I think we'll be too good to for Sunday not to pick up 3 points, Andrew. I think it's all about tonight. And the good thing is, you know, you're talking about they're playing teams home and away. We've already probably played the most difficult one away, and that was Denmark, and we come out with a positive result. I fancy it tonight. I really do. I know that sometimes as a Scotland fan, you get along there, you're full of confidence, full of hope, and all of a sudden your dreams are shattered. We've seen it at the Euros. We travelled in thousands upon thousands over there with great hope, but it seemed to be shattered very quickly. But tonight at Hampden, packed house there, the attacking lineup that we've got, the two centre-halves played really well against Denmark. I've just got a feeling that we can do this tonight, and I think we'll pick up 6 out of 6.
There's been a lot of focus on Konstantinos Karetsas just because what he did against Scotland, especially at Hampden in those games in March. But Steve Clark won't be falling into the trap that he's the only danger that Greece have. They do have some very good players. Pavlidis, who plays up top for Benfica, has a great goal-scoring record. Christian Scholes as well. Rangers fans will know from that doubleheader against Bruges. I think he maybe ended up with a goal and three assists across the two games. He's a real danger as well.
Yeah, listen, I've got some top players. You've mentioned two of them there. Pavlidis, for me, I think he's probably the pick of the bunch. I think he's fantastic. It's obviously good for us that Karetsas. Good that he's not playing, but
he's also on the bench. Yeah, so still good feature.
We saw what he'd done the last time he was on the bench when he came on. He's a fantastic young player, but they've got dangers all over. Scotland just need to be on their guard.
Well, thank you to Thomas. 0141 951 1025. Graham is a Rangers fan in Easterhouse. Graham, is Steven Gerrard the man you want to be in charge?
You look at his record, I think. When you look at his record, mate, the first year he built a team. The second year, the league got stoked. The third year, they won the league. And when he left, we were in the semi-final of the Cup, 7 points ahead of Celtic, and we were in Europe, still in Europe. And I think it was 10 of the team that started in the final were his signings. So I don't think there's many downsides to Gerrard coming back.
Is there no concerns for you on what's happened to him since his time at Rangers at all?
No, you can't. Every club's different. He's probably, I think he was getting rid of players at Villa, wasn't he? And he, I don't know, just didn't work for him. But you can't go with that, because every player gets sacked. Every manager gets sacked somewhere. Mourinho's been sacked, Mellon MD.
But then any time Rangers are hiring any other manager, they will look at what they've done at previous clubs. Do you know what I mean? So anyone else that's being interviewed today will be getting judged on what they've done at other clubs. So would it be wrong just to completely put aside what Steven Gerrard's done at other clubs?
No, but when you hear it, you're comparing him with Russell Martin. I don't think it really matters. I think what he'd done at Rangers was good enough to give him another shot at it. With what I said there, with his record was. I think he was very good for Rangers, and I think it'll be the same again.
One trophy out of nine, very good for Rangers. Would you accept that again?
Well, you don't know if he'd have went on and won the league the fourth year before he left. Everything was going well. We were 7 points ahead in the league, semi-final of the cup, and still in Europe.
I agree with you. I think he's the only man for the job. I think he ticks the most amount of boxes. Because I tell you why I say that. I feel as if the players in that dressing room probably need someone with an aura and puts a little bit of fear into them. I think Steven Gerrard does that. I think if you go and get an up and coming young coach, I know, is it Danny Rowe?
Danny Rowe at Sheffield Wednesday.
He's been mentioned.
Or
I think he's probably
Sheffield Wednesday.
He's probably a similar route to what Russell Martin is. I think they need someone with authority and that's going to put a little bit of fear into that squad, and I think Steven Gerrard does that.
How tough does it become for the Rangers board to pick anyone other than Steven Gerrard at this point? Because all the talk has been about Steven Gerrard, I'll say the majority of supporters, not every single supporter, but the majority of supporters seem to want Steven Gerrard in. The board have admitted they held their hands up, they made the wrong decision in the summer. Does that add a lot of pressure then? If the Rangers board do their interviews today, decide that Steven Gerrard isn't the man, someone else is. Is that a hard sell for the Rangers board to the supporters? Because the new manager is maybe already on the back foot because he's not the popular choice again, as was the case with Russell Martin.
Look, I think sitting here, and I could be totally wrong, but sitting here watching what's unfolding in front of me, he's a stick-on for a job. And the reason he's a stick-on for a job, as you said there, I don't think the board can bypass him and go out and bring another manager in and have another scenario like Rangers have just had. Then when you flip it, if he comes in, they can say to the Rangers fans, OK, you were up in arms, we got it wrong, you wanted Russell Martin out, we eventually got him out, you want Steven Gerrard back in, we've got him in, what happens if that goes in the wrong direction? They've left themselves with a massive, massive problem. I think because of the situation, what happened with Russell Martin, the board have come under a lot of criticism as well. Then I think to appease the fans, I think they'll go for him.
Is that, I mean, the board were, it was quite obvious in the summer that that wasn't really a consideration, was it, Ross? The appointment wasn't about appeasing the supporters at all. It was about who they thought was the best man for the job. They've since admitted they got it wrong. Is that changing their whole approach?
So
if they now go down the route of trying to appease the supporters, they might, by the way, they might think Steven Gerrard is the best man for the job. That's fine. But if they're listening to the supporter opinion now when they weren't in the summer, is that them changing their approach, the way they're running the club? Is that just learning?
Learning. I mean, well, if you say they didn't listen to the fans in the summer, they weren't listening to them throughout this season either, because if they did, then Russell Martin wouldn't have stayed as long as he did. But listen, see, you can go round and round here. Are they going to listen to the fans? Are they going to do that? I think the bottom line is there's a reason why the majority of people are saying that Steven Gerrard is the man for the job. And I can't disagree with them.
Graham, is he now a sort of seen as a unifying figure, Steven Gerrard, when things have been so broken across this season? Is it quite an easy win almost for the board to appoint Steven Gerrard and all of a sudden, you know, a lot of supporters will be delighted about that and feeling way more positive than they would otherwise?
I think the fans will get back on board with it, with this new manager. You're talking about sacked. If you were going to be your best manager, you wouldn't have picked Russell Martin, mate. I think Gerrard coming in will unite the fans, get the club back together again. Still problems with Thirlwell and Stewart, right enough. If you try and get rid of him, and we could be on to a good one.
I do agree that he'll certainly bring the fans back together, because that's what's needed. I thought Barry Ferguson and his staff were absolutely brilliant in that when they came in, because the fans, I thought that Ibrox would be half empty every second week until Rangers made that appointment with Barry to the end of the season. I thought because of the Barry Ferguson situation at Rangers, he brought the fans together, and I think this will be the case as well. And when you bring the fans together and the club together, then at least you've got an opportunity to go forward, because the scenes that we've seen under Russell Martin, people weren't even concentrating in the football. I'll guarantee you some Rangers fans were sitting there hoping that Rangers would maybe draw or lose just to get rid of Russell Martin. So you've got to unite the club together. He possibly could do that because of his past record, as Graham mentioned there. But when he comes in, and I do think he will come in because I think the board are under severe pressure, they couldn't go and appoint someone else that's failed, then he's got to hit the ground running. He's got to get results. It's simple and straightforward as that.
Well, thank you to Graham. 0141 951 1025 if you get any thoughts to add to that. We still want to hear from you Scotland fans as well ahead of a big night against Greece. While you get your calls in, I'll tell you about this. Clyde One. And you will want to get your entry in for this tomorrow. Make me a winner, because it is the biggest prize yet. £570,000 to get 100 entries into the draw. Text BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. Or for 7 entries, text YES to 61025. Texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. Or you can call 03434 269 340. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only. Online entry and all the rules for this Rayo Network competition are at makemeawinner.com. co.uk. Lines close at 5 o'clock tomorrow and someone will win the lot. All you need to do, if you get the call, just answer your phone. Easy as that, and £570,000 will be yours, paid straight into your bank account in time for the weekend. So for your chance to win, text YES to 61025 now.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Ross McCormack here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are about an hour away from kickoff at Hampden between Scotland and Greece. A massive night in that World Cup qualification group. So keep those calls coming. 0141 951 1025. If you wonder what sort of intellectual conversation goes on at the break in the studio, Gordon DL has just asked Ross McCormack and I, when is Halloween? And I said the 31st, as it is every single year. And Gordon DL responded with, what month?
I'm not a big Halloween fan, am I? I actually meant what night was Halloween, so I could get my barricade and my light off.
Turn on, you're a lights off type of character. Yeah, no one.
100%, I've never answered the door once.
No. I can't imagine you're the type that will.
No, plus the fact, to be fair to me, I live in a sort of a place where the kids aren't going to go upstairs.
You got a big electric gate out the front?
No, I'm living in a wee small flat, and the kids aren't travelling up there. What for? A couple of sweeties and a lollipop.
To be fair, I genuinely imagine that the scariest thing that could ever happen on Halloween is seeing the sights of the inside of Gordon DL's flat. So I think it's probably a good thing that you're not inviting folk in there. 0141 951 1025. Charlie is up next in Greenock. Charlie, you feeling confident ahead of the game tonight?
I don't know if confident or nervous is the word. So I'm just distracted there with the conversation you're on about Halloween. I'm trying to think of a Dazzler there. He's like Halloween version of Scrooge, the way he was coming across there.
Well, listen, Charlie, I totally agree with you. I'm not going to argue on that point. Obviously, money's tight now and sweeties are quite dear.
Come on, give me a bag of sweeties.
But when you run out of sweeties, Charlie, you've got to give them pound coins.
In one of you, Rod.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, hi. Hello.
Hi, Charlie. Just right. In terms
Charlie's
of the game tonight,
nervous.
What's
Hello?
Making you nervous? Is it because it's such a big game, or is it because you're not feeling too good about it?
It's such a. I was saying to the producer earlier on. I personally, he was talking about how important the game was. I think it's the most important game in the group, in the section. This is the most important one. It's a like proverbial six pointer, if you like. If they said before the group who's going to win it, a lot of people would have tipped Denmark and in between Scotland and Greece to get through. So it's still a backdoor to get through in second place. If we win tonight, we can still win the group, and it's amazing. But if we win tonight, I also think we will be through in second place. If we lose tonight, we're out of it. We're gone. Yeah, it's that big a game.
It doesn't really matter how the qualification group is configured. This one is different from previous ones, but essentially the key to a lot of them is win your home games, isn't it?
Yeah, I do agree with Charlie. I think this is massive tonight. I'm more confident for some reason. I don't know why, because we've been let down so many times with Scotland when we're confident. But I just feel, looking at the team, the last two games, everything that's going for us, the players that we've now got, that team spirit that we've got as well, I think. And coming off the bench, I think we've got guys that can come off the bench and turn the game for us. Got to be difficult. We'll need to play to the top of our game. We play tonight, so if we get 3 points, we're now probably sitting in 10 because we'll win on Sunday. There's no excuse why we shouldn't. Then it becomes a way to Greece. And even if you lose that, you're still guaranteed to be sitting in second place. So the win tonight is massive for us, absolutely massive.
Who are the key men tonight, Charlie? Who needs to step off if Scotland are going to get the win?
I think we're going to see Vidok run riot, possibly. We're a bit of work. That's what we're hoping for, isn't it? You know what I mean? We're getting my platform, and we've all been crying from getting from the start instead of having an impact. So Vidok, obviously, the midfield are looking good. Midfield are strong. Well, Scotland are always have been looking strong, so we've got McTominay and Ferguson and McGinn in the midfield. And I like Christie as well. I was always a fan of Christie, but up front, I don't know. I've never been... I don't like talk Scotland players down. I really don't, but I've just never been a fan of Lyndon Dykes or Adams. You know, I know I've just not. I'm just not.
Who would you play, Scotland, Charlie, then? Who would you put in tonight?
Listen, I don't even know. I don't even... Well, the boy for Hibs. I know there's a lot of talk about the boy for Hibs. But then again, he's not scored in the last couple of games, so I don't know.
Yeah, Kieran Bowie's maybe not hit the heights that he did at the start of the season in between these two international breaks, and Lyndon Dykes and Shea Adams may not be the flashiest of strikers, but over the course of Steve Clarke's tenure, they've played such a key role between them, haven't they, Ross?
They haven't let Scotland down. I would say more so Lyndon Dykes. Every time he plays, you know, he puts in a great shift for the team, holds the ball up well, lets them midfield get round about him. But I've said it before and I'll say it again,
is he going to say it? Is he going to keep it to himself?
I thought he was going to sneeze and then he'd come.
I've said it before and I'll say it again.
I've said it before, nothing. I'll say it again. If I'm looking down the list of Scotland strikers right now, who I want to play, who I would fancy to get as a goal, it's Lawrence Shankland for me. I can't believe he's not in the squad.
I can understand why he's not in the squad, because it was such a short window between the last two games.
It should have been the last one as well.
Yeah, well, maybe, but he's hit a little bit of form. He's scoring goals. Listen, nobody's a bigger fan than Shankland myself. I think he's a terrific goal scorer. He's playing a very good heart side. He will score you goals. But I thought it was a big call. It was a hard one for Steve Clarke. He's kept with the nucleus of the front men. Look, I think if we create chances tonight, I think Adams is playing in a top league. Look, he's good enough to go there if we create chances. He works very hard for the team as well, which I think is a bonus. There's a lot of players in there capable of getting us a goal. Even set plays, Souter and Hanley at the back up, they're a threat in there as well. I've just got a good feeling about tonight.
It's the legs in the midfield, isn't it? The energy in the midfield.
Yeah, Christie and McGinn's in there, Gannon Doak. You've even got McTominay and Ferguson. These guys like to go forward. They're forward-thinking players. And obviously, the two full-backs getting up and down the flanks as well, trying to create chances. Look, if we take care of the ball tonight, defensively, if we're solid, I think we'll create enough chances to win.
It shows the strength of the midfield, Charlie, that Billy Gilmore's on the bench, doesn't it?
Aye, it does the half, man. Aye, but, well, aye. Billy Gilmore, he's got all the talent in the world, the boy. He has. But he's, again, I'm not. I hate slagging people or putting people down in any way. He's just lightweight. You know what I mean? There's some players. Like, the boy at Rangers, it was at one time, McCausland. I thought he'd all the skill in the world, but he was just lightweight. You know what I mean? You need power in an international, in a man's game. You need people that are physical sometimes, and that's just how I feel about that. I think he's got his skill in the world, but he's easy pushed off the ball.
Why do you think Gilmore is the one that maybe misses out from those players?
I think it's just purely down to energy. What Dazzle was saying earlier, I agree with him. I think when you're at home and you're probably expected to have, I would expect Scotland to have a large majority of the ball tonight, take the game to Greece. I think when you're dominating the ball, I think Billy Gilmore is the man for the job in there. I agree with him again when he said away from home you need that energy and people getting about. Lewis Ferguson is perfect for it. But I think at home at Hampden, when you want to keep the ball, I think Billy Gilmore's the go-to guy.
I don't think we need to worry about Scotland goal scorers in the future. I've just looked up the Scotland under 21 score at the moment. They're playing Gibraltar tonight at Dens Park. 65 minutes in, how many goals do you reckon the Scotland under 21 side have racked up?
Five.
Seven.
Ten. 10-0.
Many minutes in?
65.
All right, okay. And who scored the most?
Emilio Lawrence, who's in Manchester City's academy. He's got four. James Wilson, heart striker, has a hat trick as well. So that could.
10-0.
Oh yeah. And there could be more to come. Thank you very much to Charlie. 01419511025 to get more of your calls in ahead of kickoff. Maybe you want to delve into the Rangers managerial situation. We'll take your calls as well, and we'll play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You see Roger Hanna last night?
No. Don't tell me he got 10.
His third 10 of the season, which meant that he got himself one of these Beat the Pundit coins.
He got
one to take home because he's now got a hat trick of 10s.
Was there a Katy Perry question in there or
something? Yeah, I think it was what singers stayed at the same hotel as the Scotland team this week was one of the questions. I can guarantee there are no.
Imagine him come to your door champing at Halloween.
I can guarantee there are no Katy Perry questions in tonight's Beat the Pundit for your chance to take on Gord DL or Ross McCormick. 01419511025 now.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We are building up to kickoff between Scotland and Greece in a huge World Cup qualifier tonight. It is less than 45 minutes to go until the teams take to the pitch at Hampden. One of the big headlines is Ben Gannon-Doak starts for Steve Clarke's side. So if you've got any thoughts ahead of kickoff, 01419511025, of course. The Rangers managerial hunt continues. Andrew Kavanagh and Parag Marathi conducting interviews in London today. Steven Gerrard, of course, the top billing, but other names in there as well. So Rangers fans, what are you making of that? 01419511025. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You both played this week?
I played in the last two.
Last 2 weeks. You win this week?
Two victories.
Ross? You play on Monday. Oh, there was three of you, wasn't there? It was Hugh. You were in with Hugh and David Friel, weren't you?
Yeah, that's it. It put me off my stride having two guys either side, yeah.
You said it put you off your stride. Did it not just continue your normal form?
Thanks for that. Josh. I can't wait for the summer.
Josh, I know you were weirdly good in the summer. I don't know what was going on then.
No pressure.
Maybe you can recapture that form. Right, Josh is up. Is it your first time playing, Josh?
Aye, first time playing. I win anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, there we go. I like the
who are you with, Josh?
Just me, mate.
No, you're not. There's a two or three in there. Say hello to them for me. You're on your way to the Scotland game, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm on the way to the gym.
Josh, come on.
Who would you rather face, Gordon DL or Ross McCormick?
Genuinely, I'd take the both of them, so it doesn't matter.
Right, well, both these will play you, Josh.
Nah, it will just, in the interest of fairness, we'll just make it one of you, and we will, I will flip this coin, one that Roger Hanna now has sitting on his mantelpiece after getting a hat-trick of 10s this season. One of you could get a 10 tonight.
Had a 10.
Maybe.
Yeah, I've been up there.
Right. I need 30 questions for that, Andrew.
It'll be the blue side for Ross McCormick, the red side for Gordon DL, and it is Gordon DL who...
That is the worst toss of a coin I've ever seen in my life.
How? What's wrong with that?
You went blue and you flipped over to red.
No, I didn't. That spun a few times. You're at it.
Not at all.
Just annoyed it was
you. See, before the last time I seen you flip it, you nearly smashed the desk.
Yeah, that's true. I dropped it.
Try to catch it.
I dropped it at one point. That was fine.
Right,
that was fine. Right.
On the bench.
I'll put some greatest hits radio in the ear of Gordon DL. So first of all, he can't hear us. And second of all, so he can stop annoying us as well. Josh, it is 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. How does that sound?
All good.
Let's do it. How many points does Scotland currently have in Group C?
6.
Nasser Djiga plays for what country?
Ghana.
Who was the last Scotland international to score against Greece?
McGinn.
Who is older, Austin Trusty or Alistair Johnston?
Alistair Johnston.
Who was the last Greek player to play for Rangers?
Pass.
Aaron Hickey plays for which English Premier League side?
Brentford.
Which Greek first tier team did Ivan Jovanovic manage before he became the Greece manager?
AEK Athens.
Right, we will bring Gordon DL back in.
I think there's some tough ones in there. Stick on that you're winning this, I think.
Go!
We'll see. 30 seconds on the clock. Let's go. How many points does Scotland currently have in Group C? Nasser Djiga plays for which country?
France, don't know.
Who was the last Scottish international to score against Greece?
McTominay.
Who is older, Austin Trusty or Alistair Johnson?
Trusty.
Who was the last Greek player to play for Rangers?
Pass.
Aaron Hickey plays his football for which English Premier League side? Which Greek first tier team did Ivan Jovanovic manage before he became the Greece
AK
manager?
Athens. I got you. Start it. I seen you. Get the next question. Yes, you did. I seen their lips moving.
There was not a noise that came out my mouth.
Get that moving.
Not a single noise.
See if I
get
beat with one. There'll be trouble.
We'll see.
There'll be trouble.
Right, Josh, how do you think that went?
Terrible, to be honest.
The confidence that Josh had, I think, disappeared.
I'll take any of the two of them. I'll take the two of them on.
Yeah.
If I phoned up any other week, I'd have been fine, but because it was international break, I forgot it was going to be international questions.
Yeah, there were a few international questions in here. Josh was really confident, and then see after the first question,
I could
sense the confidence draining out of him. The first question, how many points does Scotland currently have in Group C? Josh said 6. Gordon DL said 4. It goes 1-0 to Gordon DL.
Hang up, Josh, and do yourself a favour. Don't phone back.
I knew as soon as I started reading this question that you would not be on for the 10 tonight, Gordon DL. What country does Nasser Djiga play for?
I'll go another guess. Belgium.
Burkina Faso.
Oh, so if Josh gets that, I'll give him the victory.
He didn't get it. So it remains 1-0 to Gordon DL. Who was the last Scotland international to score against Greece? Josh said John McGinn. You said Scott McTominay. It was Scott McTominay. Scored in the first leg of that double header against Greece in March. 2-0 to Gordon DL. Who is older, Austin Trusty or Alistair Johnson? It is a 50-50. And by the way, it's what a real 50-50 because there's not much in it. There's what, 3-4 days in between
their
birthdays? Josh went for Alistair Johnson. You went for Austin Trusty.
Oh, he could get back in the game here.
It is Alistair Johnson. 2-1.
Well done, Josh.
At the moment, who was the last Greek player to play for Rangers? Neither of you got it. This is a tough one. No.
Kyriakos?
No. It was after Kyriakos. I think Rangers were in the third tier at this point.
Oh.
Anestis Argyriou.
Oh, catch yourself on.
So it remains 2-1 to Gordon DL. Aaron Hickey plays for which English Premier League side?
Josh must have got that.
Said Brentford.
Yeah.
You both got it right. 3-2. And you both got one final question in. Which Josh will
never get this
tier
in a million
team
years.
Did Ivan Jovanovic manage before the Greece manager?
He didn't even give an answer. That's how
you
bad
both gave an answer.
Oh.
And if you're saying that he's really bad, you gave the same answer as him, and you both got it wrong.
I'm quite happy with that.
You both said AEK Athens. The answer is Panathinaikos. It is a slender win, but a win nonetheless for Gordon DL. Unlucky, Josh.
Well done.
Josh, thanks for coming.
Phone in and try again on a week where there's maybe not as much international
football. Cut the dumbbells, stick them in your gub, and don't come back home.
Oh, well. I liked his confidence when he first came on. That was good, but it was just not
Josh hasn't gone to gym. He's got a kebab
show. Tough questions there though. How'd you got that Rangers player on? I don't think many folk would have got that.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah.
Is Josh still there?
I'm still here.
What team do you support, Josh?
Celtic.
Alright, what do you think of your team this season? That's how you got AJ in it. What do you think of your team this season? How are you doing?
Alright, I think Rodgers will be away at the end of the season anyway, so as long as we win the league, that's all that matters. But
is that a concern for you at all, Josh, having the Brendan Rodgers situation just kind of hanging over the season at the moment, or do you not think it'll have too much of an impact?
I don't know. Obviously we didn't have the transfer window kind of after, so I think obviously with everything going on, Rodgers obviously contract up, he'll be away. It just depends who we get in, to be honest. I mean, see in January, we need a right winger. Obviously, that Balaglicia has not been great. So, see who we sign in January if we get him. But I think the board will kind of probably hold off till next summer to see what's waiting for the whole manager situation.
Is it something that you think needs clarified early in the season at all?
I don't think they can do it before the January window because if you're a player, would you be coming to work under Brendan Rodgers if you know fine well that he's leaving in the summer? I don't know. I'd be interested to see who he thinks is his biggest challenger this year, Hearts or Rangers.
Josh?
Did you hear him and beat the pundit and you're asking him another question? I think you should give him.
He got that wrong as well.
Exactly. He went, oh, pass.
Josh, the fact...
A couple of weeks.
Josh, the fact that Rangers have sacked Russell Martin are due to make a change in the next week or so, do you see Rangers as any more of a threat? Or does it just depend on who comes in?
No. If they get Gerrard in, definitely. Obviously, he won the league when he was up before, but just also depends what they do. They can go and get someone foreign, or who knows what they'll do, or even a Sean Dyche, I wouldn't mind that. But if they get Gerrard in, then definitely they're going to be more of a threat, so it'll be harder for us if they strengthen with him.
Thank you to Josh. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. It is not too far away from kickoff now, about half an hour or so, so we will head back to Hampden shortly. But let's stick to the phones. Billy is a Rangers fan in Toll Cross. Billy, where do you land on the Rangers managerial hunt?
TVG is the only one that can actually pull this team together.
The only one?
The only one. I mean, him, Gary McAllister, Jermaine Defoe. I mean, they're the travel that will take over.
By the way, just from seeing Jermaine Defoe's Instagram activity this week,
I
was going to say, see, even if he's not asked to be part of the backroom staff, I think he might still turn up at Ibrox. He's really posting a lot of Rangers content at the moment, I think, to try and get his foot in.
He's actually put his name in for the next Broxy Bear. He just wants to be a part of that much. Like, quite rightly so. How good would it be for someone like him coming back with the two that was mentioned there with Billy, the manager and obviously the assistant manager and Gary McAllister? He's a Rangers man, and we know that Rangers fans love that, someone that's connected to the club. I think that the announcement will be made very shortly, Andrew. I think it'll be sorted.
He's not a Rangers man, is he? No, he's been there what? It's like Joe Hart. Yeah, people think he's a Celtic man now. He's there for 18 months.
Doesn't matter. The fans love him because he came to Rangers, he scores goals, and he goes on and tells everybody how great Rangers are, and he wants to be a part of it. Rangers fans love that.
Billy, how important is that backroom staff if it is to be Steven Gerrard? And it's obviously still an if at this point. He was speaking on Rio Ferdinand's podcast. He was saying how vital it is to have the right team around him. You know, is that the makeup you want to see? Is it Gary McAllister? Is it Jermaine Defoe? Is it guys that have previously been at Rangers before? Does there need to be a mix? Could Michael Beale be part of that?
There's every possibility. I mean, he's worked with him before, but the main thing, that Rangers are lacking at the moment, you get the odd one, maybe two, but it's been a while for we've won 4, nothing, 5, nothing. You'll not get a better finishing coach than Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah, that's a fact. I think if I'm a striker in the Ibrox dressing room just now and I'm hearing Jermaine Defoe might be coming as a coach, I'm buzzing with that.
We're maybe getting ahead of ourselves here because interviews are taking place today. No decision has been made as far as we're aware. If it is to be Steven Gerrard, Michael Beale, can he go back? Just given his history and what happened, and it obviously ended badly when he was the manager there, do you think Rangers fans would take Michael Beale back if it meant Gerrard coming back?
Yeah, I'm a bit surprised that we've not seen
him. He may not want him, by the way, but just hypothetically.
Yeah, a bit surprised we've not seen him walking about one or two of the pubs in Glasgow.
There's a couple of new Twitter accounts been opened today. I don't know if that means anything.
Listen, I think that if the manager comes back and he wants the right backroom staff, then you've got to back him. Look, Michael Beale came. He was a disaster. Absolute disaster as well, as a manager. But he may just realise now that his role is to be the guy that goes on and coaches and everything about him. I don't know about whether Steven Gerrard will bring him back. That'll be interesting to see. But whoever he brings in as his coaching staff, he's got to get the backing. And I think Rangers fan will give him the backing.
See, the thing with Gerrard, if you listen to his if you listen to his interview with Rio Ferdinand, they said he had his managerial team down to a T at Rangers. That suggests to me that if there was a chance to bring Michael Beale back with him, you would take it, considering he said to a T.
Well, you wonder, because I heard Gordon Duncan mention this name last night, and the Daily Record are also now reporting it, saying that if Steven Gerrard was to go into the job, that Steve Holland former England coach, worked at Chelsea, that he, Steven Gerrard, would try to tempt him to...
I think Steven Gerrard will need to bring in a top quality coach, because I don't think that's his 40.
Does he tick that box?
Probably, yes. And I think Michael Beale certainly ticked the box when he came in at Ibrox at the beginning, because it was well documented, and guys like Andy Halliday would tell you that Michael Beale took every training session. Steven Gerrard is not what you call a top quality coach. He's a guy with, you know, stature. He'll go out there, he's great for the press, he's got something about him, walking into a dressing room, the presence, everything. He's a football manager, right? He's not the coach. So if you're going to be successful, you've got to bring in the best quality of person that can do the jobs that you can't do, and he falls into that bracket.
Billy, if there have been question marks about mentality with this current group of Rangers players, do you think Steven Gerrard is the person that will be able to sort that?
Absolutely. But who was the person that questioned the mentality? Russell Hartley. Oh, sorry, Russell Martin. Now, I mean, to pick you up on something there, Gordon, if you look at Michael Beale's record at Rangers in games winning, he wasn't that bad.
If he wasn't that bad, why is he not still in the job?
Well, no, I mean, obviously he made mistakes. No, I mean, but look at his record up against other managers, and you'll see it isn't that bad. But as a coach, he's a far better coach than he as a manager.
Yeah. Well, if I turn around and says to you, Billy, then that you said that it wasn't that bad, I'll say to you, Billy, listen, Rangers are going for Michael Beale back as a manager. What would you say?
I would say no, but exactly. As a coach, I would say aye.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think that you've got to know what your forte is. I said that about Steven Gerrard. I think he's a manager. He's out there at the front. He leads by example, and I think he's got that stature about him that he can do that. Of course he can. Then I look at Michael Beale. For me, Michael Beale was never a leader, never a manager. I hear so many good things about him as a coach, especially his first stint at Rangers under, you know, Steven Gerrard and Gary McAllister, and it worked very, very well. So, listen, that might be the formula that they look for to work again for him.
Well, thank you to Billy. What about Charles and Cumbernauld? Charles, who gets your tip to be the next Rangers manager?
Good evening, guys. Everybody's going for somebody with, they're saying about somebody with the knowledge of Scottish football and Scottish football scene. What about Stevie Robinson? He's doing well at St Mirren.
We got this the other night there, Charles, and listen, Stephen Robinson has been brilliant for St Mirren, and obviously his stunt in Motherwell as well, got in cup finals and stuff like that. So he knows the league inside out. He knows how to get a tune out a team. The only thing, and I'll say this with the greatest respect, I do not think it would float the Rangers supporters' boat, Stephen Robinson coming in there.
Would it float your boat, Charles?
Well, I agree with what you just said there, but, you know, they brought in a manager that nobody had heard of, nobody wanted. At least people know Stevie Robinson. They know what he's doing with St Mirren. So, do you know, I think it would be a good idea to give him a chance, you know, because I think the guy's quite good. You know, I mean, he's quiet in the background, but he gets the job done.
Yeah, no, I don't think MD's going to argue that he's good. He's been absolutely brilliant. And I'm sure that St Mirren will want to keep him as long as they possibly can. But to go and manage a club, especially the now with the situation after what happened to Russell Martin, to go and manage a club the size of Rangers and the expectation, the pressure, everything that goes with it, I just don't think he's the right fit.
Would it be quite a drastic change of style as well? St Mirren, by the way, play better football than they get credit for under Stephen Robinson, but they do quite often play with two big strikers, they play a 3-5-2, they've got hard-working midfielders in there. Is that quite a bit away from maybe what the Rangers board are looking for when they originally brought in Russell Martin, what they've bought the players for in the summer window, what they're maybe looking for going forward?
Yeah, and also the fans, Andrew, because you know what will happen as soon as he doesn't win a game? It'll be, oh, this style, this isn't how Rangers play, that's not our DNA, all the rest of it. But I agree with Gordon. I worked, I was lucky enough to work with Steve Robson went back to Motherwell, and he's actually a bit of both. He's sort of in between. He's a very good manager, but he also takes pretty much most of the coaching himself. But I just feel as if this job is maybe just a little bit too big for him. Without being disrespectful, I think it needs a manager who's going to stand there in front of the press, be able to, you know, have wide shoulders, take the pressure on his shoulders. And for me, out of all the guys that I've seen mentioned so far, I think there's only one guy that's done that, and he's proved he's done it before. It's Steven Gerrard.
Well, thank you to Charles. 0141 951 1025. More of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
20 minutes to go until kick-off between Scotland and Greece. It is a massive night in World Cup qualification as Gordon DL takes a big sigh into the microphone, really getting us into the spirit of things there, Gordon.
Yeah, just had a busy day, Andrew, so I'm getting geared up for the last 29 minutes and 54 seconds, but I'm not counting.
It will be a big occasion tonight, and how much do you think the home crowd can really help things in a game like this, Ross?
Are they going to be huge? Because, you know, if Scotland don't get off to a flyer, they're not winning a lip after 20 minutes. You don't want to hear grumblings, you know, every time you pass the ball sidewards or backwards. There's going to be times when Scotland are going to have to keep the ball. They'll come under threat at some points, because as we've seen, Greece are a good team, so it's important that the fans stay with them if they ain't winning, or even worse, you know, worst comes to the worst and they go behind, they're going to need these fans to really get behind them.
Let's hear a bit from Steve Clark heading into this one. He says the players feel they deserve the chance to play at a World Cup, but also knows they have to earn the right to do so.
Obviously they know that they've managed to qualify for two tournaments. They've been at two tournaments. They understand how close they got the last time in the World Cup campaign. It was a really good qualifying campaign. The playoff game didn't go our way. And they feel that they should have already had that World Cup experience, but they haven't. So this is the next chance. They're all at a good age. I know you say they're old, but they're not as old as me. They don't feel that old. They know they've got a chance to be there, and some of them will go on and have chances in the future. But if you look, it's 1998 since we were last there, so every chance we have to look at is our last chance. So why not do it this time?
When I speak to a lot of former Scotland internationals from over the past 20 years, a lot of them talk about the regret of not playing in a major tournament with Scotland, not playing in whether it's a Euros or a World Cup. Can that be a big motivating factor for these players? Yes, a lot of them have played in a Euros, two Euros, but is the World Cup maybe just that step above? Is that the real pinnacle? And this seems like a real tangible chance to get there that can't be missed.
Of course it is. You've got teams like obviously Brazil and Argentina who have got that, you know, they're full of superstars. They come into the equation. So to get the chance to play in a World Cup is obviously going to trump playing in the Euros. But listen, I know Steve's saying there that they'll have chances in the future, but you know, it's going to be difficult to be part of a squad that is just as talented as this one, because I think we've got some fantastic players in that squad. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. I think the World Cup is the pinnacle of anybody's career. And as Steve Clark rightly pointed out, there's a long time since we've been, and I'm sure the fans are desperate to go and support our team in a World Cup tournament as well. I think we've got a great opportunity. I think a lot of that depends on tonight. I think if we can get 3 points, and I've said it from 6 o'clock tonight, I'm confident that Steve Clark and the boys can go and do that, then I think we could be in the right road.
We'll go back to Hampden shortly to get the final bit of build-up. You can continue to get your calls in, whether it is that or the Rangers managerial situation. 0141 951 1025. Reese is a Rangers fan in Ayr. Reese, who is the man for you? Oh, I'll tell you what, Reese, I'll read out this teaser for the guys, and then I'll bring you in. Forget about the teaser.
I know we're there good, but you're cutting down our time.
Yeah, that is true. Right, full-time teaser. Thank you to Lewis and Denniston for this one. It's nice and short. There are barely any answers, so that is good. We can just skip straight on to Reese here. Scotland play Greece at Hampden tonight, but can you name the 5 Greek players who have won a major trophy in Scotland?
Samaras.
So either the League Cup or the Scottish Cup. Georges Samaras is correct. 4 Scottish Premiership titles, 2 Scottish Cups and 1 League Cup. I will leave it there.
Barkas, Celtic.
Okay, we will definitely leave it there. Barkas, you've got 3 to get. There we go. Nice and quick. Reese, sorry about that. Reese, how are you feeling about the Rangers managerial situation? Are you on sort of Team Gerrard? Are you looking somewhere else?
No, I'm not on Team Gerrard, and it's not a dislike for Steven Gerrard. Appreciate everything he's done. or open the 10. But that seems to be the problem, you know. Like, that's the mentality it seems to be amongst the Rangers fans. We seem to have settled for mediocrity. Did anybody really enjoy Steven Gerrard's time at Rangers other than that league title winning season? I didn't enjoy it. I watched Celtic win two trebles and St Johnstone win a double. I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed the season they won the league. That was great. I'll never forget them for that. But we as a club need to be looking forward. To me, it seems to be there's a new wave of Rangers fans. The younger ones, they all run the social media sites and that, and they've all got their right, and the board have followed that. The board are... It's a sign of weakness for me.
To be fair, we don't know if the board are going to appoint Steven Gerrard or not. We know talks are going to take place, but they may not appoint him.
Straight away, because 70% of the fans on social media, or maybe it's even more than that, the percentage of the fans on social media want Steven Gerrard back. I just don't see what it's based on. If this was supposed to be a new dawn for Rangers and a new era for Rangers fans, and we are supposed to be the club that are supposed to be wanting to dominate Scottish football, go and get the best manager in Scottish football. I've heard not even a handful of guys say his name this week, and you've got folk like Gordon DL and Ross McCormick on the panel there, but I'm sure they'll no disagree with me. But Ross McCormick made a crazy statement half an hour ago saying Steven Gerrard is the only man for the job, but he's going to say that because he supports Celtic. They'll be licking their lips if Steven
Gerrard... What's that got to do with it? I can give my opinion.
No, I think
so,
Rhys is on.
So what's the name you're going to say? Derek McInnes?
It's got to be him, Ross.
And you think he's going to leave Hearts with Tony Bloom's investment behind him? How well Hearts are doing? He's turned it down before when he was at Aberdeen, when Rangers were in a worse position. You think he's going to leave Hearts?
They were in a worse position. That's the key word. They were in a worse position. I'm not saying there's nothing saying that he will leave Hearts, but there's been word out there that he would be open to the talk. If he's open to the talk, usually there's no smoke without fire. I think they have to look at Derek McInnes. It can't be anybody else. He is there for longevity. He knows the club. He knows the league. I just think it's ignorance on, not so much the panel, but on most of the Rangers fans' behalf. Like, why is nobody shouting for Derek McInnes? Is it just because the league title that Gerrard won is like, that's what I don't understand. It feels to me when people are saying he's the only man for the job. The only man for the job, in my opinion, is Derek McInnes.
Rhys, can you imagine how it looks if the Rangers hierarchy go for Derek McInnes and he turns them down again?
Well, I'll tell you what. Then we'll know where we stand, Ross, but could you imagine a world where Rangers go for him and he actually comes? What a statement that would be. I think if we're going to show the mentality that we want to be shown about dominating the leagues, that's the kind of thing that Rangers would have done back in the days. I know Gordon DL, you know yourself, back in the days of Walter Smith and that, we went and we got the best guys at the best time. That's what happened back then. We would make statements. I mean, nobody thought Mo Johnson would come to Rangers, but he did. You know what I mean? Crazier things have happened, guys. I think we're looking too far. We're looking at what's happened in the past 15 years, and I think some Rangers fans are just used to the battle and the constant fight, whereas this was supposed to be a new era, a fresh start for us. And I honestly would love to be proved wrong. I'm no 100% against Gerrard. I just think that McInnes is the man you have to go to first, and if it's not the right time for Derek McInnes, he'll no say not to us forever. It's only a matter of time before he does come, but we have to keep him in that race, because to me, he's the only guy. Walter Smith recommended him years ago, and I understand, Ross, what you're saying. He did reject the club, but the club was getting run so, so very poorly at that time. He was better off at Aberdeen, and that's me as a Rangers fan saying that. I think it's supposed to be a different era now. And the last thing I'll say, guys, is Gerrard knocked back the job in the summer when he had a blank canvas. Why would he come in now when it's not his team? He's not signed any of these players. What's changed in not even 4 months, 3 months? What has changed so much for him? I just don't understand it. I feel like it's most of the fans have flocked it because of the success that he had in the season that we stopped the 10. But I'm sick of talking about stopping them. We should be talking about winning for us, for us, not for just the sake of them no winning. It should be about Rangers. That's what we were promised as fans. And for me, I hope I'm not being too irrational, but it has to be Derek McInnes, honestly.
There were quite strong reports yesterday from outlets that are quite reliable when it comes to Hearts and Hearts stories that were saying that Derek McInnes has no intention of leaving Hearts at the moment. Whether that is true or not, whether Rangers even want Derek McInnes is another thing. Could you see why that would be the case at the moment, Gordon, if Derek McInnes would not want to leave Hearts? He's got a very good thing going at the moment.
Well, he's a very experienced manager. He's been asked the question before when he was at Aberdeen, chose to stay at Pittodrie. And I think that at that time, you know, it probably was the right decision for Derek. Look, he got offered the Hearts job. under Tony Bloom and the investment and everything. They've started well. A bit disappointed they're out the first cup, obviously, but sitting proudly top of the league. Good squad, good investment. Would I think if Rangers approached Derek McInnes, he would be interested? Yeah, I do. 100%. I think he would be very interested in Rangers. I know a lot of people out there in the media as well are shouting for Derek McInnes. You've got both sides. You hear Reece and Nair, he makes the argument why it shouldn't be Steven Gerrard. There'll be a lot of supporters on shouting it should be. But Derek McInnes' name has come in the mix. And I think if Rangers were interested in him, wanted to speak to him, I don't think Hearts are wanting to let him go. And I can totally understand Hearts fans, you know, anger shouting down the phone, listen, we've got the manager, leave him alone where he is. But I think Derek McInnes would be interested in talking to Rangers.
I'm also interested, I mean, Reece is talking about why it wasn't right for Steven Gerrard in the summer. I believe there were sort of tentative inquiries in the summer. It didn't quite get to the point like today that there was a face-to-face meeting and a proper interview going on. But the fan opinion seems to have changed massively from the summer as well, because I sat here all throughout the summer doing this show when Rangers were on the hunt for a manager, and there wasn't the strength of opinion that Steven Gerrard has to be the next Rangers manager at that point. 4 months later, it seems as if there's now an overwhelming majority. It's quite interesting how that's kind of moved on in the space of 4 months.
It's probably just how the season's played out so far, hasn't it? I think, as we spoke about, I think what's going on is a lot of the Rangers fans are thinking back to a manager who's already been proven at Rangers, and that is Steven Gerrard. See, you say a lot of people weren't shouting for the rooftops for Gerrard to come back in the summer. I bet you there wasn't loads and loads of fans who were asking for Derek McInnes in the summer, was there?
There was a lot of people shouting for Davide Ancelotti.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly. Well, thank you to Reece, 01419511025. We're about to go back to Hampden, but let's get some more work on this teaser. Scotland play Greece at Hampden tonight. Can you name the last five Greek players who have won a major trophy in Scotland, like Georgios Samaras and Vasilis Barkas?
Giacomakis?
That's the one.
Giorgos Giacomakis is correct. We'll get more answers next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The teams are out, the national anthems are underway at Hampden. It is the Greek national anthem at the moment. It will then go on to the Scotland national anthem. What a noise it's going to be in there tonight, isn't it, Ross?
Yeah, it'll be unbelievable. I think that's a favourite moment of my career. I don't know about anyone else, but when you're standing there at Hampden listening to that national anthem, incredible.
Yeah.
Did you sing?
I did, actually,
yeah. Do you know the words?
Of course I know the words.
Listen, I've been out with you in a karaoke, well, mate. You don't even know the words when it comes up on the screen.
Were you sitting there the night before studying them just in case the camera panned onto you?
Do you know what? I don't think I knew I was playing the night before, actually.
Yeah?
I think it was just a case of on a day, get told, but no, unbelievable.
Is that the type of thing that properly inspires you, though, just a full stadium going for it?
It is, yeah. It's one of them things. It's weird because there's bits... It's such a big game in your career, such a big moment in your career, that there's bits of it that you think you would remember that you actually forget about. It's
just all become a bit of a blur.
A bit of a blur, yeah. And I scored that game as well, so that made it even better. We beat Iceland.
Even better feeling, scoring? Or was the national anthem the...
No, national anthem was better than scoring.
Yeah, better than scoring.
I think so, yeah.
That is the biggest lot of rubbish I've ever Oh yeah, standing there singing the song that I don't know, have a clue.
Some people feel passionate.
That's a genuine answer. I did think I enjoyed that more.
Oh, I like that. That's good passion.
Nonsense. Don't even go down that road with him.
Right, let's go to Hampden. The Scottish national anthem is over. Tom Grant has the final bit of build up for us.
Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, the teams are out. The national anthems have been sung and Hampden is ready. You mentioned the home ground a little earlier on, and not to put a bit of negativity before a ball has been kicked, but although Stevie Clark's overall record at Hampden is good, we are currently 1-9 in Mount Florida, form we need to sort out over the next three home qualifiers. Greece have made two changes from that surprising 3-0 home loss to Denmark last time out. Konstantinos Karatsas and Giannis Konstantelias dropping out. Onkyr Atsaz, there have been reports he's been unwell. Some of the Greek media suggesting they're saving him for Denmark away on Sunday. Whatever the story, I'm sure he'll play some part in this match tonight. But Greece aren't a one-man team, and as you mentioned earlier, Andrew, Benfica's Vangelis Pavlidis is one to keep an eye on. 30 goals for the Portuguese side last year and 5-8 so far this term. Just a reminder of the Scotland team again then. It's Angus Gunn in goal, a back four of Aaron Hickey, John Suter, Grant Hanley and Andy Robertson. It looks like Stevie Clark's playing a three in the middle of the park. Lewis Ferguson will be the deepest sitting midfielder, with Scott McTominay and John McGinn either side of him. It's Shea Adams up front with Ryan Christie and Ben Gannon-Doak either side of Shea Adams. But just this is pretty much a must win for us, with Greece away still to come. It is a must win for the Greeks. And just a point of note, 4 years ago this very night here at Hampden, it was Scotland 3, Israel 2. What a match that was. Not sure my heart could take another roller coaster ride such as that tonight. It's a huge match and it's just about to kick off.
Looking forward to that one. It does sound like a good crowd. Not so encouraged by Tom giving us those Hampden stats. I know the Greeks are good away from home as well. They're actually better away from home than they are at home. But I think there will be a lot of encouragement about that Scotland lineup.
A lot of confidence. I think it's a very good lineup. I think that, you know, Steve Clark usually comes in for a bit of criticism. Why is he not playing so and so? I think that's a very strong team tonight. Very good team. Very attacking. We're at home against a good side. I keep going back to it. I think we'll win tonight.
Ross?
Yep. Totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Fancy is very, very strong
there. Steve Clark was saying he doesn't think it's must win. He says that, you know, a draw isn't a terrible result. It's not the end of the world. But there probably is a big difference just in between getting that win and what it does for the complexion of the group, rather than a draw, let alone defeat.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably just trying to, you know, look after the expectations, but he'll be saying something different in the change room. He'll be telling them, if they go and win, exactly what it will mean to the group.
The fact that Greece probably feel as if they have to win that one, could that play into Scotland's hands, do you think, maybe?
No, I think they'll come with a game plan. You know, I don't think they'll go right on the front foot and try and blow Scotland away. I think they'll settle into the game. They know they're away from home. They've got to be professional. They know they're up against a real good side as well. It'll be interesting, the tactics, but I just fancy us tonight. I think we've got enough firepower on that pitch to get the victory.
Yeah, there is going to be a minute's silence before kick-off. Rod Petrie, of course, who was a big figure at the Scottish FA and at Hibernian as well, Scotland's first game since his sad passing. So there will be a moment to reflect before kick-off, and then it will be all guns blazing at Hampden. Looking forward to seeing how that one plays out. Remember, of course, we will be off air at 8 o'clock, but all the reaction to that one will come tomorrow from 6 until 8. It is actually a minute's applause. Steve Clark taking his place at the edge of the dugout for that one. And we talked about it earlier on. He's not really one to reflect on big achievements and big milestones, Steve Clark. He was saying, when he was asked about the fact that this is him equaling Craig Brown's record of 71 matches in charge of Scotland, he was basically saying, oh, you know, I've still got a lot of time left in me. Didn't necessarily say it's Scotland, but in his management career, that he'll only reflect on sort of big achievements like that when he's done. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I don't think he's the kind of character that gets carried away with stats and, you know, achievements and stuff like that. He looks very laid back. He believes in his players. Look, you can say what you want about him. I know he's had his doubters in the past, Andrew. I think he's done a real good job for Scotland. I really do. And if he can get us to a World Cup, that would just cap it for him.
He has led Scotland to two major tournaments and could potentially lead Scotland to a third. This would be huge for him, wouldn't it, if he managed to get Scotland to a World Cup? Where would he land in history?
Well, he's right up there, isn't he? I think this is icing on the cake. I was reading a few things, a few replies saying that this is the missing part of the jigsaw. I believe that. I think if he does take us to the World Cup, whatever happens at the World Cup, I think he could leave an absolute hero.
Do you think that'll have a big bearing on whether he remains as Scotland manager or not? What happens in this campaign?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if he fails in this campaign, I think it will be time for a change. I think even Steve Clark will look for a change. You know, he has been successful getting Scotland to tournaments. But as I say, the icing on the cake would be the World Cup for us. And I think every Scotland fan would love him for that. But if he doesn't manage it, Andrew, I think then, you know, Steve Clark will be looking for another job elsewhere.
That was promising already. The ball played down the left, and Ben Gannon-Dolk just showing that pace. That it's a sort of early sign of that pace. Can that maybe put a bit of fear into some defenders if they maybe don't know all about Ben Doak, that all of a sudden he gets released down the left and is able to stretch his legs, that the fullback might think, oh right, okay, I could be up against it here.
100%. It just puts a fear into the defender straight away, doesn't it? And what happens then is, you'll find the next time Andy Robertson gets the ball, Ben Gannon-Dolk will go to run long and he'll just stop and he'll have so much space to get it into his feet and turn. And by the way, if they let him turn like that, they're in big, big trouble.
Yes, the ball cool is gathered play by Angus Gunn there, who, despite the fact that he isn't playing any football at club level, to be fair, it was actually quite refreshing honesty earlier on in the week from Angus Gunn when he was asked in the media about, you know, his chances at Nottingham Forest and how that could affect his international career. He essentially said, you know, the goalposts have been moved. He was kind of promised cup football at Nottingham Forest in the summer. That hasn't transpired, and essentially kind of said he'll be reassessing his options in January. You don't often see a player come out and be that honest about things, do you?
Well, I think he should be. I know financially he'll be well looked after at Nottingham Forest Premier League, but when you're sitting there and you're the Scotland goalkeeper, your third choice for your club, you've got to go out and play, Andrew. You've got, and plus the fact, just for yourself, you don't want to look back in your career and say, well, you know, financially I'm good, that's brilliant, but I sat on a bench and I wasn't even second choice for a lot of my career. We look back in the careers and memories and games, and you can talk about the nights that you had and the great games and the great victories. So for him as a professional footballer, you want to play as much football as you can. I think that's refreshing. Listen, if it was me, I'd sit there fifth goalkeeper as long as I was getting the wages, but he wants to go out and play.
There was also Ryan Christie was the player that was up yesterday, and he's obviously having a great time at Bournemouth under Iraola, was saying how good a manager he's been. He plays that deeper role for Bournemouth, and he was asked about the fact that he's never really played that for Scotland at all, despite the fact that he sort of jokingly said, oh, it doesn't take many footballers to find out their natural position at 28 years old. So clearly that's where he feels he plays his best football. He was asked if he's ever had the discussion with Steve Clarke about, you know, playing in that position for Scotland rather than further forward, and he said, no, it's not anything I've ever brought up with him. I'm just quite happy to turn up and play whatever Steve Clarke wants me to play.
Well, that's it, and so you should be grateful to play for your country. But listen, some managers just prefer players in certain positions. It really is as simple as that. And see, if we didn't have the embarrassment of riches behind them that we have got with your Lewis Fergusons and your Billy Gilmores and all that, you could bet your bottom dollar that he would be dropping back into that position and playing there, but he doesn't have to.
Well, just looking at him tonight, I think he's sitting in there with Ferguson in a two, if I'm seeing that right. And it was, you know, McGinn, Ben Gannon-Dolk and McTominay is a three just behind Adams. So, listen, I like Christie. I think he's got brilliant energy. He's got a great footballing brain. He's a very, very good player indeed.
It actually does look as if he's playing as the deepest midfielder,
yeah,
doesn't he?
Saying,
which
yeah.
is quite incredible considering the fact that he said yesterday he'd never had that conversation. I don't know whether he was trying to throw people off or not, or whether Steve Clarke's just sprung that on him, but certainly looks as if he's starting as that deeper midfielder. I think a lot of Scotland fans will like to see that, because if he's playing in the English Premier League, people talk about the best league in the world, and he's performing there regularly at a high level, then people will want to see him do that for Scotland. And it also means that guys like Scott McTominay, John McGinn, maybe gives them a bit more licence to be those goal-scoring midfielders that we've seen over the years.
Yeah, but listen, he might not start in that deeper position, but there's going to be a lot of times in this game where Lewis Ferguson's going to find himself making the box. McTominay, you know, is going to be in there. There's going to be times when Christie has to sit. And the good thing about it is every single one of them can play every single position in midfield. Mm. It doesn't make a difference to them.
And there was a caller earlier on as well that said he's never really been sold on Shea Adams, never really been sold on Lyndon Dykes. We know that they've not got the most prolific records for the Scottish national team. It's not really what the striker is all about in a Steve Clarke system, is it? They've been so good over the years at essentially being that foil for the players behind them to get involved and score goals.
Yeah, but when you're a striker, as much as your big important part is to bring players into play, especially when you've got that quality behind you, you've got to score goals. To keep yourself in the team, you've got to score goals. That's what you're there for. That's what the strikers get judged on. I'm looking at this formation just now, and I think looking at it, it looks more I know John McGinn's dropping back a little bit, but when we've got the ball, it looks like obviously Ferguson and Christie's sitting as the two, and then you've got the three in front with the one up top. But listen, it's a patient game just now. The Greeks knocking about to the back, but it's been a promising start.
Yeah, a bit of work to do on this teaser. Can you name it. The five Greek players who have won a major trophy in Scotland? You have Samaras, you have Barkas and Giakoumakis.
I asked the Dazzler for the last one. He went, I've got it. I said, give me a clue. Do you know what his clue was?
What?
He's Greek.
He certainly is.
Right, okay. You've got two more to get.
Go on, Roscoe. You get one out of the five. I love that. Go.
I had the Celtic striker. No, as you well. Didn't. You got, didn't. You got yeah. it before me.
Right, go. I'll give you this one.
I haven't got it.
You
already mentioned them.
Oh, Sotirios Kyriakos.
There we go,
I
correct.
I already had them, sorry.
And one more to go.
How long's your music? Because I've got it. It's done.
We've got about 30 seconds to go.
Ah, well, we'll just work it down. We'll watch a football.
So you've not got it?
I have got it. He's a Hearts left back and he played. Correct?
You've looked this up during the break.
Have I looked
there
up?
There is no chance that you've pulled this out of nowhere.
Where is my phone?
Sitting over there.
Right, so how can I look
That's
it
the
up?
First time you've put it down the last hour.
Okay then. You're not giving me
Go
credit.
Go on, say it.
His first name.
Oh, he's not got it.
Is Takis.
Uh-huh.
Is it Fasas or something?
Fisas. Someone Fisas. Has text Gordon yeah, DL that answer. We will be back tomorrow with all the Scotland reaction.